Hey Krishna. So Krishna is describing the yoga ladder. In fact, the yoga ladder hasn't started. It will take time. The first thing that Krishna is describing now is Karma Kanda. What is this Karma Kanda? Karma Kanda is basically a business which people do in general. I'm sure most of us might have done before started reading Bhagavad Gita or started practicing Krishna consciousness. So how is this business how does this business happen? We go to the temple and then we have a huge list of various desires that we have in our heart, which we have penned down on the paper, and then we go to some Devi Devta in the temple and then read out whatever we need, and then we say that I'll give you this, give me this. And the business is also unfair. How is the business? I'll give you 2 coconuts and you fulfill this. This is Karma Kanda. But then, this is the degraded Karma Kanda of the degraded age of Kali Yuga. But there is something very, very elaborate procedure when it comes to Karma Kanda also. So let's see what Krishna wants to tell about Karma Kanda in Bhagavad Gita. This is the first time we are discussing something about Karma Kanda, especially related to the Devi Devtas. So we are discussing shloka number 11. Devan bhavayata nena te deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreyaha param avapsyatha. Here basically Krishna is describing how the entire universal administration works. So in the previous shloka, if we remember, so Krishna was saying that the Creator sent forth the generations of men and demigods along with the procedure of yajna. And here he is continuing now. What is Krishna saying? Devan bhavaya ta anena. So he is saying that the demigods, devas, the various Devi Devtas. How many Devi Devtas are there? 33 crore Devi Devtas. So what is he talking about? Devan bhavayatan. So he is saying that being pleased, the Devi Devtas being pleased by what? Anena, by the sacrifice, by the yajnas. What will happen? Te deva, all those Devi Devtas, what will happen? Bhavayantu vaha. They will please you. Now since you have pleased them, now they will please you. Parasparam bhavayantaha. By such cooperation between the men and demigods, what will happen? Shreyaha param avapsyatha. By this, people in general, or you, O Arjuna, will attain the supreme benediction. You will prosper like anything. A very nice shloka. In fact, it needs a very, very great detailed discussion to understand various aspects of it. Let's understand the position of Devi Devatas first. Demigods. Now sometimes people mistake this word demigod. They feel we are calling it as demigod. It's not demigod, it's demigod. Demigod means the beings who are higher than all the human beings. We are nowhere in comparison to those Devi Devatas. But then all those 33 koti Devi Devatas, 33 crore Devi Devatas, they are below Krishna in their designation, in their power, in their supremacy. And they all together unanimously accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now whenever Devi Devatas are worshipped, in fact we'll see that in 7th chapter, 9th chapter, Krishna is going to describe in a very great detailed manner how this entire thing happens. So I'll just give a gist of it. So whenever the Devi Devatas are worshipped, what happens? When they become pleased with us, they get the power from Krishna to give the benediction, and they give the benediction to us. So this is the procedure. Now, in short, how this happens. Now here in this particular text, let's see what is Prabhupada telling in the purport. Position of Devi Devatas. So they are the empowered administrators of material affairs. So they are the different ministers. Like we have the water minister, like we have Indra, our rain minister Indra, water minister Varuna, and then we have the power minister, that is Surya, and then we have the education minister Saraswati, and then we have finance minister Kubera. So in this way, you know, we have got various ministers. So they are given some specific role to play in this universal administration. 33 crore ministers, can we imagine? This is called a huge universal administration under the supervision of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. And then what are they doing? The supply of air, light, water and all other benedictions for maintaining the body and soul of every living entity is entrusted to the demigods. So they are the ones who are maintaining, they are the ones who are providing various things. Innumerable assistants in different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, these Devi Devatas are not separate entities. They are actually part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, you know, these different Devi Devatas, they are the different parts of the body of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, we need to understand that, okay, this is the position of Devi Devatas, but how to please them? Obviously, nowadays no one cares to please anyone. It's like all about free. Okay, I'm getting it for free. Let me enjoy. But then, the Vedic scriptures does not talk about that. Whenever we take something, we give back. So here, when we are taking so many things from Devi Devatas, we are indebted to them. Like for example, suppose if Sun God, he gives the power bill to us. Just imagine what will the cost of that, or what will be the price that will be mentioned in that? The power bill. We'll not be able to pay. And what if the Sun God says, if you don't pay, I'll not give. And I'll not give the sunlight or sun heat. Now here we need to understand that under the guidance of Krishna, the Sun God is working. And he is doing, you know, various activities, providing various service to all the living entities. But at the same time, I'm just giving the example of Sun God, like that we have all the Devi Devatas. So at the same time, even we have a role to play. And what is that role? We have to please them. How to please them is a question. And here, Prabhupada is saying, the pleasures and displeasures are dependent on the performance of yajnas by the human beings. So how these demigods can be pleased? By doing different yajnas. Now, there are specific yajnas for specific demigod. So this has to be very clear. It's not that everything is nowadays, people just dump all the photos of demigods in one altar and, you know, just, you know, do some incense and maybe some flower here and there. That's it, done. No, there's a huge procedure that is there. In fact, in this age of Kali, no one is doing proper demigod worship also. Because here it's very clear. By doing a particular yajna, we can please a particular demigod. There is no combined effort anywhere. And here it is given that Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all the yajnas as chief beneficiary. See, even if the yajna is meant for pleasing a particular devta, suppose, you know, it's done for pleasing Indra, like you know, various yajnas are there for that. Now, if it is for pleasing Indra, then only Indra should be worshipped in that. But in all the yajnas that are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, Shaligram Shila, which is the bona fide form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu or Krishna, is worshipped first. And even when the yajna starts, the first ahuti that is offered is for Lord Vishnu. Another thing which I was observing in one of the yajnas was, even if the Devi Devta's names are chanted, it will be preceded by a syllable Om. Like for example, Om Ganeshaya Namaha, Om Rudraya Namaha. So Om, this syllable Om, what does it represent? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. He's saying that I am that syllable Om. So here it's very clear. We do any yajna for any personality, any Devi Devatas. First ahuti or the first offering that is done or the invocation that is done is for Lord Vishnu. Now, Why Vishnu? There is a question. Why Vishnu? And here it is given that he is the Yajnapati. Do we remember what did we discuss in the last sloka? There Vishnu was called as Prajapati. And we discussed the meaning of Prajapati also. He is the maintainer. He is the protector of all the living entities. At the same time, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. He is the benefactor of all the yajnas. He is Yajnapati. He is the one who is supposed to accept all our offerings. So here it is given that the ultimate satisfaction of Yajnapati is the chief purpose of all the yajnas. Now the question is, so, okay, if I'm supposed to please Vishnu, then why am I supposed to do all the Devadevata's yajna? This is a question which only intelligent people will ask. And the answer is, yes, there is no need of any yajna of any other Devadevata. Why? A very beautiful shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam which says, Taror eva mula nisechanena tripyante tatskanda bhujopashakaha prano paharasya tendrenam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. This particular shloka says, Taror eva mula nisechanena. Now, if you want to water the tree, what will do? Now start sprinkling on every leaf and every branch and flower and fruit of the tree. We want to water the roots of the tree. And when the roots of the tree are watered, the entire tree will flourish. And when it comes to feeding this body, what do we do? Oh, the hands have done so much of work. Let me feed the hands. We don't do that. What do? We put the food inside the mouth, which goes inside the stomach. And when the stomach is satisfied, the entire body is nourished. And if we remember, we started our discussion saying, all the Devadevatas, they are part of Krishna's body. If Krishna is satisfied, automatically all the Devadevatas are satisfied. Now see, we don't have time to do yajnas for each and every Devadevata. We are indebted to everyone. 33 crore Devadevata. So the intelligent person will be the one who would understand, let me water the root. Let me not sprinkle water on the leaves and twigs and flowers and fruits of the tree. So that's what is mentioned here, that when the Yajnapati is satisfied, automatically all the Devadevatas are satisfied. Now, what happens when we do Yajna? When we are doing Yajna for pleasing the Yajnapati, that is Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, what happens? Very, very technical flowchart that is given here. Ahara Shuddhau. First thing that happens is when we do Yajna, Ahara Shuddhau. The food becomes sanctified. Next, Sattva Shuddhihi. So what is Sattva Shuddhihi? One's existence becomes purified. When food is purified, second is one's existence becomes purified. And then it is given, Sattva Shuddhau Dhruva Smritihi. Now, the purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified. So the finer tissues in the memory, they become sanctified, purified. And after that, what happens? Smriti lambhe. Then the person with a sanctified memory starts thinking about the ultimate goal of human life. That is liberation, breaking the cycle of birth and death, attaining Krishna. And by this what happens? Sarva granthinam vipramokshaha. So, all these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness. Finally, the person breaks the cycle of birth and death and attains Krishna, goes back home back to Godhead. Now, as we discussed all this, now the question might be, why is Krishna telling them, please demigods? Why Krishna is saying that do sacrifice, please demigods, they will be pleased, they will please you. Why is he saying that in this shloka? This shloka which is there, or in fact the section that we are discussing, Karma Kanda, is not for devotees. It's for materialists. They don't have faith in Shastra. They don't have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Somehow to get faith in the Shastra and somehow to get a service mood in those people, Vyasadev, very beautifully, in Vedic scriptures, he has given various yajnas, which are none other than the different business business tactics, you know, which are given. That if you want this, do this particular yajna. If you want this, do this particular yajna. what happens when a person starts doing this? He does the yajna, he gets the result. He does the yajna, he gets the result. And by this, slowly and steadily, he starts getting faith in the scriptures. And then he starts reading more and more and more. And then he gives up all that and just worships Krishna to attain the ultimate perfection of human form. So just to build the faith of those people who are faithless, this particular type of sacrifice, which are meant for Devi Devtas, is given in the Shastra. But when it comes to devotees, when it comes to the intelligent ones who have understood the goal of life, they need not do all this. Why to, you know, just go around? We'll go straight, not the goal of life. We'll march straight towards the goal of life, and that is pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we have spoken in previous verses also, the yajna for the age to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Sankirtan Yajna, that is chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every single day, we are pleasing the Yajnapati, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. And if he is pleased, all the Devi Devtas are pleased. And as I already said, we are indebted to all the Devi Devtas. And when we please Krishna, we are no more indebted to anyone. Now Krishna is going to elaborate more on this particular topic of how the desires are fulfilled by doing yajna, a very important subject matter, you know, that we are discussing. So let's see the next topic in the next video. Hare Krishna.